Okay, Jesus gave this message this morning. I am your Jesus, divine love, born incarnate. I have come to explain to you the fullness of my call, which is self-surrender. Without your surrender, I cannot achieve in you my goal and your salvation. Surrender means that you must give up or relinquish something. Self-surrender is my call for you to give up your own will. Your will is directed by whatever is in your heart in the present moment. This is why my call to self-surrender is at once my call to complete submission to holy love in the present moment. Self-surrender is the key that unlocks the door to my heart and to divine providence. So often you do not see my provision because you are blinded by what you want. So often what you want is not good for you and will not lead to your salvation. My provision, my divine will for you, is like a great tapestry that I, the weaver, begin to weave at your conception. All through your life, I design to put each thread in its place, to create the masterpiece of your salvation. When you refuse to surrender to me, you inasmuch as pull a thread out of place. Then I, the artist, must redesign the entire tapestry so that it all comes together harmoniously. But when you surrender to me, the final outcome is much more easily attainable. You see my grace, and you cooperate with my provision, my plan. The design is more beautiful because it is my best design. Your self-surrender is what moves your feet up the staircase of holiness. Your surrender lets you inhale the sweet fragrance of the bouquet of my grace. Without your surrender, you are like a broken tool in the hands of a master carpenter. The carpenter cannot use such a tool, so he sets it aside and reaches out for a better one. In the same way, I cannot use you to the fullest unless you surrender completely to me. When you surrender, you are telling me you trust me to lead you, guide you, provide for you, protect you. I cannot resist such a one. My love completely embraces such a soul, and I am united to him. This is why I tell you, your trust is everything. Your trust is your surrender. And Jesus told me that when he was talking about trust a while back. He said, you see trust as a small thing, but I tell you it is everything. And then he said, it's because you're in your trust, you have to surrender everything to me in order to trust. So after all these weeks of trying to look up things to read to you, I finally came to the conclusion that trust and living in the divine will and surrender are all pretty much the same thing. And that's where the saints leave the sinners, I think, is with the trust. So this is a reading here on the union of will. It's in the book Divine Intimacy from Tan Publishing. The first and most important result of the unitive power of love is the perfect union of man's will with the will of God. As love develops, it so empties the soul of everything opposed to the divine will. So impels it to love and desire only that which God himself loves and desires, that little by little the weak human will becomes fully conformed and united to the divine will of God. The two wills are made one, namely into the will of God, which is likewise the will of the soul. In all its deliberate actions, the soul is no longer guided by its personal will, so frail and inconstant. It is directed and moved solely by the will of God, wherein its own it has been lost through love. He that shall lose his life for my sake shall find it, Jesus declared in Matthew 16. Captivated by love for God, the soul has for his sake entirely renounced his own will. It has voluntarily lost in him all desire, all inclination, and now the loss has become the greatest of all gains, because the soul finds its will now entirely transformed into the divine will of God. Could one hope for a more advantageous exchange? St. John of the Cross writes, "The state of the divine union consists in the soul's total transformation, according to the will, in the will of God. This transformation is total and not merely part, nor is it merely in things of greater importance, but even in very small, minute things, so that the divine will truly becomes the unique motive force of the soul. Whatever it does, says, and thinks is in all and through all the will of God alone. A sublime state which lifts a creature to the heights of the Creator, which takes it from the level of human life to that of the divine. To achieve this, it was worthwhile for the soul to have undergone the bitter purification by which it was stripped and denuded of its former skin, that is, of its own imperfect will. It was worthwhile to have renounced itself and everything created." And that's what Blessed Mother does in the flame of her heart. She strips us of our own will and leads us into the heart of her Son, the divine will and the divine love of God. Saint Teresa says, "Only souls who give themselves wholly to God reach union with him. If you are to gain this union with God, he would have you keep back nothing, whether it be little or much. He will have it all for himself, and according to what you yourself have given to him, the favors he will grant you will be small or great. The more generous our gift, the more God will anticipate us with his grace and sustain us by his omnipotent action. The ordinary way, though more hidden and less consoling than the way of mystical favors, is no less genuine and efficacious. Whether God chooses to lead us by one way or by the other, we shall never lack the necessary divine help to attain union with him." So, now that we all understand that perfectly, this is from Imitation of Christ, chapter 25, in what consists firm peace of heart and true progress. "My peace is found among the humble and gentle of heart. You will find your peace by being patient. If you will listen to me and follow my words, you will enjoy great peace. At all times, pay attention to whatever you are doing and what you are saying, and make it your constant intention to please me alone, neither desiring nor seeking anything apart from me. Do not make rash judgments on what others say or do, and do not concern yourself about things not committed to your care. If you follow this advice, you will be little or seldom disturbed, but never to feel any disturbance at all, nor to suffer any anguish of heart or bodily pain, is not the state of this present life, but the life to come. Do not think, therefore, that you have found true peace if you feel no grief, nor that all is well if no one opposes you, nor that you have arrived at perfection if everything goes the way you want it. Do not entertain any notion that you are a privileged person, particularly beloved by God, because you experience great fervor and devotion. It is not in such things that a true lover of virtue is known, nor does a person's spiritual perfection and progress consist in these things. In surrendering yourself with your whole heart to the will of God, and in not seeking yourself either in great things or small, in time or in eternity, you will find peace. If you remain constant in this attitude, you will continue to thank God whether things go well or otherwise, weighing all things in the one equal balance of his love. And if you come to that state, to the state that when inward consolation is withdrawn, you can move your heart to suffer still more if God so wills, not considering it an injustice for you to suffer such great things, but acknowledging the justice of all my decisions, and still praise my holy name. Then you walk in the true way of peace and may hope without doubt to see me face to face in everlasting joy in the kingdom of heaven. And then in this book, A Year with the Saints, just two more. This is from St. Vincent de Paul. Self-will, as God says by the prophet, is what spoils and corrupts our devotions, labors, and penances. Therefore, not to lose time and trouble, we must endeavor never to act from the impulse of nature, interest, or inclination, temper, or caprice, but always from the pure and single motive of doing the will of God, and accustom ourselves to this in all things. This is the most effectual, nay, rather the only means of arriving safely and quickly at the union with God. And then from St. Catherine of Genoa, to attain union with God, all the adversities that he sends us are necessary, for his only aim is to consume all our evil inclinations from within and from without. Therefore, slights, injuries, insults, infirmities, poverty, abandonment by friends and relatives, humiliations, temptations of the devil, and many other things opposed to our human nature, all are extremely needed by us that we may fight until by means of victories we have expiated all our evil inclinations so that we may feel them no longer. Nay, more, until all adversities no longer seem bitter to us, but rather sweet for God, we shall never arrive at the divine union. Okay. The only thing that came to mind to me when I was working on this was a video I saw a long time ago about Mother Teresa of Calcutta, and she was telling the reporter that if she had never picked up the first sick, poor person in Calcutta, she never would have picked up the thousands afterwards. And that's what we have to do. We have to submit, not once, but as many times as God asks us to.